Hello and welcome to the Kingdom Living Now podcast. This is your host, Kenny Hebert, and today you'll be listening to a message I preached at Hilltown Community Church in Russell, Mass. On September 6th, 2026.
I had a question for you. Who here is under the influence?
Anyone? Every one of us is under the influence, right? Every one of us is. Everyone is under the influence of someone or something that forms us and informs us how we see life, how we deal with life, how we deal with circumstances, how we respond to life. And so this is an important thing to understand that we are under the influence of someone or something all the time. And there's things like culture, there's family upbringing, there's traditions, there's experiences, religious experiences, good and bad, right? There's fears, there's hobbies. Who has some hobbies? Who has some toys they buy for their hobbies? Okay, these things can influence us, right? There's words spoken to us or words spoken about us. There's addictions, there's dreams, there's ambitions, there's jobs, there's wealth, there's pride, there's the desire to be famous and prominent. There's political ideology, there's TV, there's news, social media. I mean, I could go on and on. I'm sure you're thinking of other ones also. And without us even thinking or considering it, these things, we start to give them some kind of value. We treasure them in some way on the inside of us that makes us give time and energy to them, those things. And we do it without thinking, and they influence us and inform us on how we see and see life and see God, see ourselves, and how we respond to the world and life itself. So the question is not who's under the influence, is what are you under the influence of? Or better yet, what have you chosen to allow to influence you? Right? Lord, we thank you for our time together as we go into the Word and we look at the things that affect us, inform us, they form us, they influence us in our life. And I pray, God, that you would speak to us this morning. Where there's things in all of us that have affected how we walk out our life in you. And I pray, God, for you to bring freedom to our hearts today. God, you would break down any barriers we have to giving ourselves more fully to you. And your Spirit would speak to us and free us. In the name we pray. Amen. And the first scripture we're going to go with is Matthew 6, verse 19 through 21. This is from the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus is teaching about the lifestyle of the kingdom. And he says here in verse 19, he says, "Do not lay up." Or do not store up, is another way to say it. Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Jesus is calling our attention. Consider what we choose to treasure, what we're going to choose to value in our life. Because these things start to affect. He says, what we treasure, what does that mean? It has our heart. Our heart is given to it. And when he says our heart, he's not talking about our physical heart that's beating in our chest. He's talking about the core of who we are, the center of our being. He's saying, whatever we treasure, it has our heart. So be careful what we give our life to. And he doesn't give any middle ground. Like, oh, there's some spot in the middle where it's not going to matter. And he said it's either of the world or the earth or it's of the head. Right? So let's go to Romans. We're going to hit a lot of a variety of scriptures as we go through this here. And next is going to be Romans 8, 28, 29. So just remember that. What we give our heart to, what treasure we're going to give our heart to. We're going to be careful what we give our heart to. Romans 8, 28 through 29 is one you've probably heard before. It says, And we know, this is Paul writing to the Romans, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that we might be the firstborn among many brothers. God's purpose here is one thing, to conform us into the image of Jesus. And why? So there'd be many more like him. Many more like him walking the earth. He's purposed in this. So our salvation is not just about being forgiven that we get to heaven someday out in the future. It's that in this life, he's looking to conform us all the time to the point where we're going to finally come to the place that we're going to be like Jesus. And that way, there's many more of him walking the earth, right? That's his purpose. And it says, and then Paul says in verse 28, he says, and we know. Who's the we? Anybody? We. Us, right? We. He's writing the Romans. He's saying, I know, and you guys know. But we're supposed to know too. We know. We know something here. That those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. I remember as a first Christian, I thought this was going to get me a nice new car. It's going to work all those things. They get a vacation to Australia. You know, it was, I had it wrong. That's not the context to you. The context is God's purpose, conforming us to the image of Jesus. He's going to work all the things in our life. He's going to work all the things in your life and my life together to conform us to the image of Jesus. He's committed to this. He's committed to this. He said we should know this. This is what we should know. He's not working all things just for our good, that we have a nice life where nothing goes wrong. He's even using the wrong things we think are happening in our life to conform us to what? The image of Jesus. Right? That's what he's saying here. So we know this. Well, guess what? Somebody else knows this. Yeah. Who? Satan knows this, right? He knows it. He knows God's purpose in conforming us to the image of Jesus. So there'll be many more just like him. And he doesn't want that to happen. He doesn't know. He didn't like Jesus. And if the more we become more like Jesus, he doesn't like it. Now, I came in here not telling anybody where I was going with the sermon. And in the back, they're praying. And a couple of people mentioned about Satan. There's warfare going on. There's this battle going on. And then someone, just before we start, walks up to me and talks about Satan. There's this intense war going on. And last time, we made a big deal about all the things happening over here in this world, over this place, over here and that. But it's not those things. This battle here is first and foremost for us. We're to work with God. And the enemy is going to thwart our every effort. He's going to deceive us. He's going to distract us. He's going to try to divert us and our attention from eternal truth and treasure. So we get distracted and start giving our heart and treasuring things of this world more than we do of the kingdom. He's at work doing that. That's the first battle we need to deal with. We want to fix all the other things, but we've got to take care of ourselves here first. And walk more like Jesus. This is important here. Really important. See, he can't change us, but he can distract us, divert us, in order to delude us living out who we truly are in Christ. That's what he said we're always working on. And he's using things in this world to call our attention, to pull our heart and treasure those things. And I was thinking of this message. There's 2 Corinthians, another one. It's actually later on in your list, Mark, but you can bring up 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. Paul writes to the Corinthians, "For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war against the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power for destroying strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ." That's where our battle is. In our thinking. Let's go go to Philippians chapter 3, verse 18 through 21. I wish I had a lot more time to tell you everything I want to share. But there's what we're gonna, I'm hoping that I just stir you up enough that you would start to seek this out yourself. Because you can hear a message, it doesn't change you. It doesn't change you until you put it into practice. As soon as you leave this place, who's going to attack you? Oh, this has got to be, I got to do this over here, I got to do that. No. Be focused on following through with what God brings to your attention here. Okay? Philippians chapter 3, verse 18 through 21. Paul's contrasting these two different groups and what influences them. It says, "For many of whom I have often told you and now tell you even with tears, For many of whom I have often told you and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and their glory is in their shame, with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we wait a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body, by the power that enables him even to subject all things to themselves." Here's one group. They're influenced, they're driven by their physical desires and things that are earthly, right? That's what he's saying. And they're looking to satisfy these physical and material desires they have. You know, living this life is as if this life and this age is all there is. That's how they're living their life. They're living it for this life alone, pursuing those things of this life. And Paul warns them. He said, what's the end of your life? Destruction. Destruction. And in verse 20, Paul speaks about another group of people. He says, they are citizens of where? Heaven. Who's a citizen of heaven?
We are.
I'll put two hands up for that one. I'll take that.
Yeah.
Citizens of heaven. That's another group. Paul calls himself, he's a part of that group. He says, he's speaking another group. Citizens of heaven. Notice something though. He speaks of citizens of heaven as it's a current reality. He's saying, no, when we become citizens of heaven, did he say that?
No.
He's now, right now. We are citizens of heaven. If we're in Jesus, we have that citizenship already. This is the truth we hold on to. This is what shaped this other group. That's how they determine how they think when we understand that. We won't live just for this life. See, our citizenship, it was secured with the first coming of Christ, right? At the cross where he gave his life and he brought us forgiveness. He made us righteous and restored a relationship with God our Father. And then brought us in God's household. So we're citizens. And I want to share with you, maybe you're here today and you're hearing this and you've heard it before, but you don't know if you're there. You can have that today. We'll talk about that at the end. But it's not just that they are citizens of heaven that influence death. And he also awaits the second coming of Christ. The word wait means they look with expectation. Anybody ever know, like, oh, vacation is coming in a week. I'm going to Disney World. And I'm just using that as an example. When you have this expectation, what do? As each day gets closer, anticipation gets stronger. You start pondering what you're going to be doing. I'm going to be doing this. I'm going to go here. I'm going to do that. That's the word await. Is there a waiting? There's an expectation, there's a hope, there's a reality. They know he is coming back, and when he comes back, it's not just he's coming back. He is going to recover me completely, and all things with it. All the created order will be restored. Because that's what's driving this other group. The other group is living for earthly things alone, living life for this life alone. Since this other group, they understand we're citizens of heaven. It's going to shape the way I live my life and how I see life and how I see circumstances. And the treasure of these two bookends of Jesus has already come and Jesus is coming back. This is what we should be living for. This is what we should be having as the expectation in our life. This is what should be influencing us. This is what should inform us. This is what should form us. When I say form us, I don't mean like we're going to become like Jesus and look like him, like his face. But inside, the image of Jesus, the image of God, the triune God, we become like him. This is what forms us. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16 through 5, chapter 5, verse 6. A little longer portion of Scripture. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. Anybody? I know I'm not the only one. Right? We can have both those things going on at the same time. Getting older. More pain, more suffering, stiffer, but at the same time being renewed day by day. Day by day. Renewed and strengthened inside. For this light and momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. For we know, another Paul writing, we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling, if indeed by putting it on we may not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee, so we are always of good courage. We should know all this here. Paul here talks about the struggle of pain and we experience while we're living in this broken and transient world. But at the same time, he talks about, he said, we do not lose heart. He starts off, and he says, and so we are always of good courage. This is because, he said, we know something. And he's saying that, he said, we know, he's saying, he's writing to this church saying this. He said, this is what influences, that we're influenced by the eternal, the truth, that life, in this age, this is not all there is. And then someday, all of it is going to be swallowed up by life in Christ. Right? And we'll have a new body. And we'll be a new heavens and a new earth. In verse 5, there's another thing that I think we need to pay attention to here. Chapter 5, verse 5. It says, there's another treasure of the kingdom that should influence us. God has given us the Holy Spirit as a guarantee, as a deposit, as a down payment that's going to be paid in full someday. And he says, we know this, right? We need to remind ourselves. This is the thing about being a part of a community of faith and having brothers and sisters that can encourage and strengthen one another. We're supposed to encourage. Remember, we know this. This is a truth. This is an eternal truth. This is a treasure that we should set our hearts on, should capture our heart. Right? That's what we say. The Holy Spirit, I think like, this just blows my mind to think that God would choose to dwell in me. That's sink in for a minute there. He has come to dwell with us and in us forever. Forever. Whew. As a guarantee, but also to give us a taste of the powers to come. Mm-hmm. Powers of the age to come. In Hebrews chapter 6, I think I gave that one to you, Mark, right? Mark, Hebrews 6, verse 4 and 5. Sometimes we miss something, we read through the scriptures and we may not catch something as we're reading it. It says here, read it. For it's impossible maybe I can read it here. Too bright there. And I don't have it on here, so I'm going to have to read it here. For it's impossible, this, in the case of those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift and have shared in the Holy Spirit, and have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the age to come. And he goes on talking about, and people use this as an argument back and forth about losing your salvation. And what happens, we get caught up in that part, we miss the part that says right here in verse 5. He says, it's impossible for those we've been enlightened, we've tasted the heavenly gift, we've shared in the Holy Spirit, and we've tasted the goodness of the Word of God, right? And the powers of the age to come. That hasn't come yet. We're living in this age right now. There's an age coming. That when he returns, the coming age, he says, we have tasted already of the powers of that age. The Holy Spirit is the first part of it. But we've tasted. Are you saved? You've tasted the powers of the age to come. Has God delivered you of something? You've tasted the powers of the age to come. The future came to this time right now. It came and made itself present. And so he was saying here, this, the Holy Spirit has come to us, and we've tasted of him so we can taste of the power of the age to come. So we can start to experience the reality. We can know him in a greater and greater way. Every day, as Paul said earlier, he says, day by day we're being renewed because the Holy Spirit lives in us, and he is giving us greater and greater taste of what's to come. But we have to choose to spend time with him. He could be all around us all the time, but we could be saying, nah, I don't got time for this. I got this other hobby. I got this toy I want to buy. Oh boy, I was going to buy some today. I'm not now. we put off time with him. This is an important message for not just here, but for the church as a whole. We have given ourselves to other things. And have missed out on the powers of the age to come, the work God is wanting to do in us and transform us and conform us to the image of Jesus. And we've been listening to the enemy. And I'm not saying it's you, I'm saying it's all of us. We do, we do it, we're passive about it. We kind of like, nah, it's not really no big deal. And we don't, it is a big deal. And Paul's calling us to think about, Jesus calls us to think about this. This is serious. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 through 4. If then, now Paul's writing here, there's some things in the church that are distracted from and have been deluded as a church to understand who they really are, the treasure they are, the treasure they have in Jesus. And Paul is actually here calling them to do something in response to what he's been trying to teach them. He says here, if then you have been raised with Christ, have you been?
Yes.
Yes! If we're in Christ, we died with him and we've been raised to a whole new life in him. No longer live for ourselves, but for him. So he says, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will appear with him in glory. We already read about in Philippians where Paul reminds us that we're already citizens of heaven, right? That's what it is. We're already there. And here he reminds us that we've already been raised with Christ, we've been seated with him, we've been hidden in Christ right now. That's where we are. No, I'm sitting here in this pew and I'm standing right here. No, yeah, we are. But we're also there. It doesn't make sense, I know. But because it doesn't make sense, I'm like, well, God, you're good. It's beyond my thinking. We want to say, it's got to make sense to me. First thing learn about God and his attributes, he's incomprehensible. And the things you can't understand is because they're beyond our understanding, because they're part of who he is. So we're already raised with Christ. We're already seated with Him. We're hidden with Him. And when Christ appears, we will appear with Him in glory. So what Paul is saying here, he's saying, intentionally choose to set your mind, to set your heart on these things, these treasures, these truths that are eternal. He's telling it to them, but he's also telling it to us. In our day, it's just as important as in their day. We are called to do the same thing. See, what we choose to treasure doesn't just affect us. This is important. See, this, you know, let's say we'll hear it. I just feel like you say, please don't be saying to yourself, I wish so-and-so was here. I'm saying that to say, don't think about that. Think about right now, God's speaking to you. God's calling us each individually to some response here. And it's not just a response for our own self. We sing a song, from Him are all things, and to Him are all things, right? So here, it's not just about us. It affects not just us alone. The gospel shows us that during the 3 years that Jesus lived, He set His mind on heavenly things. He lived to give the kingdom away. He lived His life in such a way that it didn't just impact Him. He didn't do it just for Himself to walk around and say, hey, I'm good with God, right? He came around to do something to impact the world around Him. We all want to have an impact. We all want to leave something behind that actually has an impact and touches other people's lives, right? And He's saying, this is how we do it. Jesus showed them. He called 12 disciples to follow along with Him to model how to do it. He set His heart on the kingdom of God first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things will be added to you. So He said that. He did that for them. And He called them to do the same thing. And then what did He do? He taught them how to pray. Right? And what was part of the prayer? Your kingdom come. Your will be done. In heaven, right? No. On earth as it is in heaven. And so he taught them, this is how you live as a citizen of heaven here. You set your heart on God's stuff. And as you do, you walk around in your life and you impact other people. You don't do it. He wasn't doing it for Himself. In fact, whenever He healed someone, they didn't say, oh, praise Jesus. It says, after it says, they gave glory to God. He did it in such a way that people realized it was God working. And see, as more we start to think and act and live like Jesus, they'll attribute everything to God. They'll see who's at work. It glorifies Him. From Him is all things, and to Him is all things. Right? So here, He teaches them how to do that. He calls them to pray. So as He's saying, live like citizens of heaven right now. He says, don't wait to get into heaven to live like a citizen. Live right now, today, as a citizen of heaven. And as you live as a citizen of heaven, ask for the kingdom to come. Ask for the future to become present. What are you asking, Ken? He's telling them that, see, the stuff that Jesus did, they expected to happen when the new age would come, the age to come had come. And it's starting to happen here. He was asking it for it to show up right here and touch people's lives. And He says, you ask for the kingdom to come. Just as it is in heaven, let it be done here on earth. Now, I'm not saying everything we pray for, it happens. It hasn't happened for me. And most people I know, I think all the people I know, it hasn't happened to them. But we still ask. That's what He teaches us to do. And we can impact other people. See, just remember, Jesus, I think I've said this before, Jesus didn't just die to get us into heaven. He died to get heaven in us. And that it would flow through us. Can you put up Mark, John 7, 37-38? It says, on the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart," we're talking about heart, right? The things we treasure. "Out of our heart will flow rivers of living water." Jesus wants us to live as sins of the head right now. And just think about it. Every time someone's healed, every time someone gives their life to Jesus, every time someone is delivered, every time a relationship is reconciled, heaven invades. Heaven invades earth. You understand? It's not just about walking around so I become somebody. We're called to do this so the river of living water, the Holy Spirit, can come through us and heaven can come and touch other people. Heaven invading earth. I listened to a song last week, just a part of why I was preparing a sermon. It was an old friend of ours. We watched a sermon, her actually leading worship, a song in New Hampshire. And it's called "Flood the Earth." Flood the Earth. And it's just a song saying, it's just a song of worship to pray, "Heaven, come and flood the earth." If we would just pray that, if we would just seek God for His kingdom, His heaven, His power to come and flood the earth, He would change things. He's looking for us to be people who will carry the power of the Holy Spirit beyond us. He didn't just die to get us in. He didn't just die to get heaven in us. He died that heaven would flow through us to bring life to other people. And it starts with the battle. The enemy is trying to take us away from thinking and setting our hearts on the kingdom stuff and on the heavenly things. And we set our things on earthly things, it steals away, distracts us, and dilutes the life which we're supposed to be living in Christ. I know it's that's a lot, Kenny. I know it's a lot. But God is calling all of us. This is the scriptures. We want to dilute them. We're not called to dilute the word of God. We're called to uplift it and live to it. So let me end with, what are you going to allow to influence you? What are you going to allow to influence you? I also want to say, if you heard it earlier, I talked about being citizens of heaven. And I'm saying this because actually I have recorded, I put that on the internet, and people are listening to me right now, they will be listening to this. So if you're hearing me now over the internet, it goes out to you too. There's an invitation. Jesus invites us. The good news is He said He came preaching the kingdom of God. And He says, repent and believe. The good news. And the good news is that God came. We were enemies of God. We were against God. I know I was. And we were not adequate. Nothing we could do, nothing I could ever do, could ever change who I was or make up for what I did. Only Jesus could do it. And Jesus came. He took on flesh, gave His life on a cross to atone for our sins, to make us righteous, to restore our relationship with God our Father. And he says, believe the good news. Repent and believe. Now, people say, repent. Does that mean throw ashes in the air and get under and get in the dirt? No, it means change your mind. We didn't think anything of Jesus before, but now we see Him as Christ. We see Him as Savior and Lord. That's the repent. We're changing our mind. And changing our mind, we're changing our actions. And He says, if you do that, if you repent and follow Me, you have life. Believe the good news. You become a citizen. I can't give it to you. No one here can give it to you. Jesus can give it to you. If you want to talk about it afterwards, come see me or one of the elders and talk to us about it. And also, what I want to share is that if in the message and some of the things I've shared, I knew I was going to need these.
Amen.
And if God's convicting you that there's some things that you have given too much time and given your heart to, that's good news. That's the Holy Spirit. That's tasting the powers of the age to come, God bringing reconciliation for us and rescue. Come to Him. Jesus says, come to Him. And if you do, He'll restore us. And then if you're here and you've been like the world, just life has been so hard and you're overwhelmed and you feel smothered with the world. And you're overwhelmed. And you need prayer. Come for prayer. And we'll go to Jesus together. He says, come if you're weary and heavy hearted. And I will give you rest. They'll give you rest. And some may have lost the passion for the kingdom and the things of the kingdom. And maybe God stirred something up for you. Come to Jesus. You want to restore. You want to recapture that and rekindle that fire. Come to Jesus. The elders are here. I'm here. Brothers and sisters are here. If you want prayer, ask someone to pray for you.
Thanks for listening today. I hope you enjoyed the episode. If you have any questions or comments, you can reach out to me through the website. Be blessed.